Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of My County Link's Roundtable Discussion Panel as we take a look at interesting things that happen here not only in Greenville and Dark County, but also around West Central Ohio. I'm Alex Warner, joined today, as always, by Mike Stiegel over here, Galen Blosser, and our guest today from the Dark County Economic Development Committee. We have with us Denise Elsass and Olivia Schmidtmeyer. And ladies, first of all, welcome to probably one of the better panels you're ever going to sit in on here. Have a beautiful morning, man. Gosh, we actually have sunshine out there. It's going to be a little warm. I guess it's the calm before the storm coming in next week,
if I'm not mistaken.
Nice. Yeah, that's right. So, Mike, why don't you start off here a little bit, Mr. Former Commissioner and so forth, because you worked quite closely over the years with this committee.
These two ladies are, they've had these positions for a while, but these two ladies are the newer ones of the bunch. And what they do is they work mostly with the schools and the kids. And to be honest with you, these two ladies have done a tremendous job with the students and the companies here in Dark County. They have developed some really good friendships. They've developed some really close ties so we can do mentoring and all kinds of things. I can't tell you how proud I am of these two girls. I was proud of them when I was commissioner. I'm proud of the Economic Development Office, but these two ladies have really taken it to the next step for what they do, and I'll let them explain what they do.
And I see you have like a, you know, you've basically concentrate on the schools more, and you're basically with the businesses, am I right in that?
That's correct.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these things. First of all, you're dealing with post-high school and with the businesses around the Dark County community, for example. A couple programs you have, Leadership Dark County.
Yeah, so that's new this year that we're really kicking off. It existed probably about 15 years ago with the Chamber, and they just didn't have the interest as much, so we're picking that back up and tailoring it a little bit different. So it'll be a 10-month course, one day each month, where we have 16 participants for 2025, and they'll get the morning where they'll talk and learn a lot about different leadership topics like communication, team building, conflict management, so on and so forth. And then in the afternoon, we're going to spend time visiting area businesses in Dark County so that our participants can also make sure that they're getting to know Dark County and what's all available to them here.
Now, how do you qualify to be a participant? What age groups and what backgrounds?
So it's for adults in the workforce, so really 18 and above to participate. And they actually had to go through an application and an interview process in the fall to be chosen to be a part of the program.
How many people do you have at any one time involved in that?
So we were hoping to have at least 15, no more than 20, for our first class here in 2025, and we landed with 16. So we're really excited to have them kickstart it. And we have individuals participating who are new in their career, maybe out of college a couple of years, to individuals who have maybe been in their career 30, 40 years, but just want to have a refresher in leadership skills. And so it's a really nice, diverse class from a lot of different industries as well. So we're excited to see how it all plays out this year. The end goal being that they have these skills that they're developing all along. They're meeting new people in their community, but ultimately taking these skills back to their organizations, whether that be they want to get more involved in the community and hold a leadership role, or they want to have leadership roles in their career, that they're going to take these skills that they learn over the next 10 months and really put them in their day-to-day life and really continue to build upon them. And my hope, too, is that through this class, they're going to network with each other and be able to lean on each other as they continue to move forward in their career and reach out to each other and say, hey, I have this situation. How would you handle this? Could you help me figure this out? Or, you know, hey, do you remember when we talked about this in the class? What would be your suggestion, or can I just role play this with you before I go talk to that employee?
Yeah, so some of a lot of networking involved too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was a little remiss too. What's a little bit about your background? Are you from around West Central Ohio or what?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Versailles. Okay. I spent 2 years in Indianapolis, but realized I'm really just a small town girl and moved back home a few years ago. I did 16 years in the nonprofit sector doing fundraising events, and then have been with Dark County Economic Development since September of 2023, and
okay.
have loved it.
So you graduated from Versailles High School. Then did you go on?
I went to the University of Toledo and graduated there in 2007.
Okay, we won't hold that against you then. No, I'm just
go
kidding.
Go Rockets.
I went to Miami. That's what
oh,
I said.
Oh, okay. Red Hawks aren't too bad either.
Let's go over here. Olivia, how about you? We're a little bit of your background, and then we'll talk a little bit about one of your programs there.
Born and raised here in Dark County. Graduated from Greenville in 2016 and then from Wright State University Lake Campus. I was kind of like Denise. I wanted to experience the city life for a little bit, so worked in Columbus for 2 years before realizing that my heart was on the family farm, so moved back here, and my husband and I have built a house there and been with Dark County Economic Development since August of 2024. So really excited and love being in the schools working with the students.
So you're a Greenville grad of 16. What was your maiden name, if you don't mind me asking?
McDade.
McDade. McDade. Yep. Why do I know that name from someplace? Do you have a brother or sister?
No, Carton Bay.
I have two older sisters, but that's it.
Okay. Well, yeah, so you deal mostly then with the schools, all eight of the school districts here in Dark County, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So the biggest piece of our programming and what we do is we work in the schools trying to help students figure out what they want to do post-graduation. So through a different series of events that we do, we try to help them figure out what that next step's going to be, whether it's entering directly into the workforce or whether it's going on to college. So the biggest piece of our program is the U-Science, which is an aptitude test that all sophomores and undecided seniors have the option to take. And with that, it's an aptitude test, so it's testing their skills, so it's what they're good at. And then with that, there's also a small interest test. So they kind of combine those two to help them, give them advice as to what they might be really good at as far as a career path. So they can take that. And then with that, we also have other programming such as Manufacturing Day, Job Shadow Week, and we can talk a little bit
about we're going to talk about each one of those. The U-Science, I had a question on that. So that's more of an aptitude test. It's a volunteer test. They don't have, it's not mandatory that all sophomores mainly, right?
Yeah.
Take that.
Correct.
And you go around to each of the schools to administer this?
Yes, that's correct. So I work with the principals and the teachers in the schools to help get that assigned and broken up so that the students can take it, because it is a series of brain games that we want to try to break down into a couple sectors each day where they're not taking it all at once, because we don't want them to feel like it's overwhelming or, you know, draining their brain. So it's not a state test. It's nothing like that. It's something that we just offer to the schools that they're able to participate in to try to help their students. And the guidance counselors and teachers can then use it to help kind of guide their students on a path for what's next.
Yeah. Now, this is for all county schools. Mm-hmm. Explain the top five career clusters for aptitude and for interest. How does that work?
So what it does is after each school takes it, it combines all of the results and pulls the top five career clusters for aptitude. And with the aptitude, that's what's testing them as to what they might be very good at based on these brain tests that it's giving. So obviously some of the more popular ones that we see here in the county, health sciences is really big, which is awesome because healthcare is obviously one of our popular ones. We see a lot with manufacturing, distribution, and logistics. We also see a lot with business management and then information technology, so working with computers a lot.
Okay. Hey, Galen, do you remember back in the dark ages for the three of us and so forth, did you ever take an aptitude test or anything like that in high school?
No, I just remember my teacher always telling me, you don't work harder, you'll never make it. That was my motivation.
But because I think I took some kind of test. All I know is they had the drawings of a box laid out, and you're supposed to, what's the box look like when you put it together? I had no clue on that stuff. So right away, I knew I was limited in that area.
I had to take aptitude tests, too, and after taking this test, it lasted about half an hour, they decided I would be a perfect rock.
So, but I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Today, our kids really get a bad rap for not being in shape, and just a lot of things in education. What do you see in our schools? Do we have good kids?
Yes, I feel like we definitely do. So we have kids that, you know, are either doing College Credit Plus or they're even doing some sort of like job placement where they're, you know, leaving school early, practicing, you know, what their future career might be. But yes, I do see a lot of good quality students here in Dark County that, you know, are already on the path to being successful post graduation.
Mm-hmm. Now this really leads into then you're part of this program because you're dealing with the businesses. So with the aptitude test and then, you know, giving some guidance to these high school kids, that should feed into also developing the workforce for businesses around Dart County and West Central Ohio, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have really great businesses here in Dart County who are willing to open their doors to let students come in and job shadow or do an internship or just ask questions to get to know them. And our businesses realize their future workforce are our high school students. And one of the things we try to convey to our students, even if you go off to college or you know, like both of us, we went somewhere else and we're like, oh, that's not us, we want to come back, is that Dart County is always home. So even if you do go away, there's always going to be a place for you here in Dart County with one of our businesses. And there's, I think the other thing that our students don't realize until they start taking that youth science or doing a job shadow is they don't realize truly all the opportunities and possibilities here in Dart County that are available to them. You know, IT, you might think, oh, Silicon Valley, but really all of our companies here in Dart County need an information systems person. So there's incredible opportunities right here. And by taking that test and getting them out there, they're now starting to learn about that.
Okay. Here's a program Mike, it supplied some information that you put out on your report. What's IMPACT? And I know STEM, science, technology, engineering, and manufacturing.
Math.
Yep. At 2D, what's this about?
Yeah, so we added the extra M for manufacturing, and then the D is for design. So this is a program for young women in Dart County, 9th grade through 12th grade. We host it in partnership with Dart County Chamber of Commerce. I think this year we're up to 18 companies who are going to participate, but it's a day-long event for these young women to really learn about STEM 2D careers that are available to them here in Dart County. So we'll have engineers there, we'll have designers, we'll have folks from manufacturing, healthcare, and they get to have an opportunity to do some hands-on activities. Last year, one of our companies, BASF, who always graciously is our event sponsor, they turned milk into plastic. And I still am like, how does that work? I was not a science person in school. But they get to do these hands-on activities to really understand what those careers look like and all the neat things that can happen. We also host a career fair, so they can go around and visit all these companies to learn more about those opportunities with those companies. And then we also host a women in workforce panel. So we'll have women in these different careers available to answer questions for all the students that they may have.
Is there still that stigma out there that for girls and women that the sciences are not for them? Is that still out there?
I think it's getting better, but I think it's programs like this that is really showing young ladies, they get the opportunity to talk to women who are in that field, and they can find out, what was it like for you? Do you have suggestions for me of classes I should be taking now or that I should take later? Or, you know, how did you get to where you are? What was that like for you? What should I prepare for if I want to go into that field? And so I think we've come a long way where we now have women in those fields that can then talk to these young women and say, I did it, you can do it too. So I don't think it's as bad as it used to be, but I do think it still is something that young women need to be exposed to, that they can do these jobs.
I just never understood why that stigma, because I know some of the girls I knew in high school and my daughters and so forth, I mean, they're sharp in the math skills and sciences, and I always just thought that was a bad rap. Of course, you know, back in the old days, I mean, my gosh, you know, girls coming out of high school, hey, you're either going to be a teacher, or you're going to be a homemaker, or you're going to be a nurse. That's about the three things. Yeah.
Denise, I want to ask you, or not Denise, Olivia, I want to ask you about two things. Number one, explain to everybody what Hometown Opportunity is for the students and the educator tours.
Okay. So Hometown Opportunity connects our local students to businesses and career opportunities here within our own community. So right here in Dart County, you can go on the website and actually filter by what jobs are available. Also, if you follow our Facebook page, you'll notice that we pull jobs from there to post on for Find a Job Friday. How that works is students can actually, while they're still in school, create an account on Hometown Opportunity, upload a resume that they've made while they're in high school, so that way local employers can kind of start to look to see what the job market's going to look like for their future and what's out there. So they don't just have, you know, full-time careers on there. You can post internships, part-time jobs, anything like that, summer help jobs, anything like that that the students might need.
What kind of a reaction are you getting from it? What kind of interaction?
So I personally do a presentation in the schools with the students to help get them signed up and get the accounts created. I know for myself, when I was in school, I created a Hometown Opportunity account. And that's actually how I learned about my job before this with the Wright State Lake Campus. So I think it's a great tool. It really helps filter down the job search to just what's available close to home and close to them. So I think the students really appreciate having that available instead of having, you know, overpowering search engines or whatever to look at what's out there for jobs.
I'll also say it's not just for students, but anybody no. who's looking for employment can utilize that website and build a profile. No. And it keeps it to a 4-county, you know, radius, so you'll be close to home looking on that website.
And
so.
They also, it's really great for the employers.
Absolutely.
Because they can go through and check who they want, and they can put mm-hmm. what they're looking for on there.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's really a good website. Now, yep. the educator tours.
So we are looking to relaunch that here sometime this spring later. So kind of what we have learned from meeting and working with the teachers in the schools is what are their needs and how can we help tie the businesses in with the educators in the schools. So in talking with them, you know, teachers are very busy throughout the school year. So we want to make sure that we're offering something that's available to them at their convenience. So it'll be more of a roundtable discussion where we can bring businesses into the schools. They can have conversation with the teachers to ask questions and figure out, you know, what the needs are in the community.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you oversee the job shadow portion of the program then?
Yeah, so that's part of some of the programming that I handle is our junior and senior job shadow week. So this was my first year doing it in the fall and back in November. We had like 300 kids in the county that were out job shadowing for a week. So they get to spend like 3 hours with two different businesses if they choose, just kind of getting different experiences. And we had a lot of opportunities available for, you know, rural county. You know, there was pretty much any and every kind of job out there available to go job shadow. Mm-hmm. And students also have the opportunity to request. If they see something that's not available, they can request it. And then Denise works with the businesses to help get these students in for the closest thing that's available.
I knew over the years, retired chiropractor, I had 25 to 30 different students from different, you know, schools around the county came in and job shadowed and so forth. I had 10 former patients or kids that job shadowed who've become or in the process of becoming chiropractors. I think what happened was they looked at me and they said, well, if he can do it, anybody can. So, but anyway, I've been always proud of that. I've always enjoyed the kids coming in because they're always full of questions. They want to know things. They're like little sponges. They soak up what you talk about. And you give them, you know, different pathways to go down to achieve desired results.
They probably just had two choices, either be a chiropractor or a criminal.
So. Yeah, they kind of blend every now and then.
So one thing we really like to encourage with the Job Shadow Week, too, is, you know, along with all of our programming, you know, the impact, the hometown opportunity, you know, whatever it is we're doing, we really try to encourage these students to utilize those youth science results. And that's why it's so important as a sophomore to take that and use those results as your junior and senior year, because that's when students are making decisions as to what career tech programs they're going into, if they're participating in any college credit plus prep, or even if they're undecided, kind of helping take those results and implement into our different programs to help them maybe narrow down their search.
Now, you work with the high schools. Does that also include not only the career tech centers, but then, say, later on in, like, Upper Valley and things of that nature, Edison State, Sinclair?
Yep, absolutely. We have a great partnership with the Greenville Tech, but also Upper Valley, MVCTC, Edison, Sinclair, Wright State. And kind of going back to the Youth Science and Job Shadow Week, those we encourage, and now that we'll have 2 years worth of results, we're going to be able to share those top five that we talked about earlier with our company. So as they're starting to figure out, okay, what do we want to offer job shadow wise, they can take a look at those results and say, oh, we should really highlight our information technology and offer maybe a few more job shadows that way. So we can see that twofold with our companies being able to utilize the results in that way. But then also, you know, we can work with those career tech schools and Edison, Sinclair, and say, hey, we have some students, this is their results, but also those students have 10 years after they take the test to go back to it. So if they get in a situation where they're like, oh yeah, that's not what I want to do, what are the other options on my results? And they can pivot, whether that be, oh, I was in the workforce and now I want to go take some classes at Edison, or I was at Edison or somewhere else and they're like, school's not for me, I want to pivot and go into the workforce. It gives them a lot of options to take a look at.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because our last roundtable that Galen and Mike and I did a couple days ago, we talked a little bit about the drop in public school and private school enrollments and so forth. Mm-hmm. So with the decrease in the pool to draw from, we've really got to hone in on getting those kids involved in the right direction if we're going to have a workforce that, you know, applies to our industries and businesses around the area.
Absolutely. And it really is a partnership. You know, our employers see the results of these and can tailor and target and have conversations with students about something they're truly interested in and how that applies to their business. But our students can also then see, hey, this is what they say I'll be good at. How can I have that happen here in Dart County? Who do I need to connect with? So it really is, it's becoming more of a partnership between schools, companies, and our students, I feel like.
Okay. If you would, could both of you explain the, I know you talked about our relationship with some of the universities. Mm-hmm. Talk about the Miami University Hometown Talent Initiative.
Sure, yeah. So Miami University was looking to pilot this program, and they chose Dart County to do that, which we're super thankful for and appreciative of. But the idea behind it is to encourage students to do internships here in Dart County and kind of draw them into a rural community. So it kicked off in 2024. We had four students who participated. All four loved their time here in Dart County. Two of them actually lived here over the summer, and then two of them commuted back and forth from Oxford to be here. Our office hosted Olivia Egler, and then Spirit had three students who worked for them as well. We are growing that program for 2025 and continuing it. We have, I think, nine businesses interested, and I actually just spoke to Miami earlier this week, and they have about 16 students who are interested. And part of the program is that these are students who have completed their first year of college. So they may not have taken the advanced classes yet, but if we can get their foot in the door here in Dart County and start doing some internships, the idea is that then they will continue to grow their internships with the companies here in Dart County and then start their careers here once they graduate. So it's kind of a progressive program to get them into the county, fall in love with us, and then want to be here each summer and then throughout. And I will share two of the interns, our office and one of the interns at Spirit, continued their internship into the fall. Okay. So I think that speaks highly to our community and the work that they were doing and how much they really loved it.
What department do you deal with down at Oxford?
So we work with the Aspire team.
Okay.
And so we've built a really great relationship with them. And they really are the first ones kind of looking at these students and having those conversations with them, really explaining who Dart County is. These are the businesses that you might be working with. And then when we're interviewing, you know, one of the questions we ask is, what interests you in Dart County? So,
okay. Yeah. Hey, you know, Galen, you know, if we had interns who've come in here at My County Link as we're getting things off the ground here, and then in your background in business, how tough was it for you to find capable people to fit in there?
I think back when I had the lumber yards, I think it was easier to get help back then. I know when I was in school and graduated, I couldn't even get a job. They weren't available. Today, there's more jobs, I think, than there are people to fill them. So I would say it's a lot tougher today to get somebody to come to work for you, even a qualified person. You know, I hear stories today about adults. I mean, they're adults now. They're not kids anymore. Still taking their mom to their interview to get a new job. And I'm hearing all these things, how things have changed today. And that was going to be one of my questions. Do you help kids, even adults? Don't take your mom and to your interview with you, but I hear these stories of how it is today.
Yeah, so part of our programming that we offer in the schools and, you know, and working with the teachers, a lot of your senior teachers in the high schools are working with the students to make sure that they have those resumes, cover letters, all of that stuff polished, ready to go. But we also in our office have presentations that we offer to the schools where we can go in and help students and tweak those and kind of talk to them about, you know, employability skills and what to say, what not to say in an interview and how to prepare. And, you know, we even work with some of the schools to do like mock interviews and just to give students kind of that experience if they've never, you know, worked a part-time job or whatever while they've been in high school. So, yeah, we do try to really, really push, you know, this is what you need to prepare for the next step. Because no matter what job you're going to be in, you're going to have to do an interview. You're going to have a resume. You know, things that don't just revolve around, you know, a cell phone or a computer.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked just a little bit about STEM, and then it also became STEAM. What is STEAM Camp?
So
outside of just working with our high schoolers, we also work in the summertime with our 7th and 8th grade students.
Oh, really starting early then.
Yeah, so this is just kind of very entry level. It's supposed to be fun. It's a week-long program that we offer in the summer for them that kind of just dips their toes into what's out there. You know, we take them to different businesses, and they get to do, you know, different projects and things like that throughout the week. And so, you know, if students have that free time in the summer and they're going into the 7th or 8th grade, it's a great opportunity for them to kind of just, you know, explore what their options are.
Where's that held?
So we base it out of Greenville High School, but then throughout the week we go to several different businesses and places like that.
And it's fun.
Yes. Yes. It's all fun.
Is this one of those team building things where you're going down the boards like this, or you're walking a rope or something, or
so
throwing
last,
hatchets?
Last year,
manual.
Last thank you, Mike.
Last year, one of the fun things they got to do is they got to build a Bluetooth speaker at the end of the week, and then they also get to participate.
Mike's going Bluetooth. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They also get to like participate in like a graduation. So, you know, after they've, you know, learned all these things throughout the week, they get like a little, you know, celebration of thank you for coming and participating.
I noticed here on your board report that you had, you were talking about U-Science. It says here you'd be working to schedule any schools interested in 8th grade.
Yeah.
So you're going to try to take it clear on down.
Yeah, so actually Greenville has decided that they right. Would like to test their 8th grade students, and they'll be starting with that programming today. With certain schools, so Greenville, for example, since their career tech program is right there at their high school, students can actually start earning hours into their CT program as early as their freshman year. So to help help these students figure out what they want to do as far as what career tech field they want to go into, instead of waiting till sophomore and then having junior and senior year in their career tech field, they actually can start as early as freshman year. So we want to test those 8th graders to kind of help them decide if there's a program that they might be interested
with in. With the cost of colleges nowadays, are you starting to see more and more kids looking at career tech schools and things like that, or it's pretty much staying the same?
Yeah, no, I think we are seeing the pendulum shift back where kids are looking more at career tech, getting those skills and going right into the workforce. I think parents are seeing the advantage of that as well, of not having that college debt either, of going right into the workforce and also having skills to do that. So I definitely see we're seeing the pendulum shift a little bit. But I also think it's important for students to understand, you know, what's available to them, what they want their career path to be. So whether that be, you know, go right into a career tech program or go on to college. And you can go to career tech and still go to college. But there's so many options and avenues this day and age to get an education that you want, whether that be some of our local companies will pay for you to get your education, go to school or go to work while you go to school. So there's so many options. And then too, with CCP, some students are graduating high school with an associate's degree.
Right.
So there's so many options out there, but I definitely think we're seeing students and parents also look more at that career tech. I know several of our career tech schools have waiting lists, and their programs just aren't big enough to take in everybody who's interested.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, we talk about the business advisory committees. Does each of the districts around Dark County or around the whole area have a business advisory committee? I know Greenville's had one for years.
Yep.
How's that work? Do you have to go out and recruit that,
yeah.
or do they just say, hey, we've got an idea and then they come to you, or how's that
so
work?
We're fortunate we have two here in the county. So Greenville has a business advisory council, and then our local Dark County ESC has a business advisory council, and they actually really kind of run those programs, and then we're there to support. So we share about our programming, but it's a really great way to build upon those partnerships I talked about earlier between the school systems and the businesses, where they can kind of come together and say, okay, here's our needs from the school, here's our needs from businesses, this is what we would like to see from students maybe coming in from an interview, or this is what's lacking, and then we can help support those conversations. But also then, you know, hearing from the school saying, hey, we have this many students going to career tech or in a co-op program, companies, would you be willing to help these students have an opportunity to come work with you and build their skills as they're learning about this program?
So do the businesses come to you, or do you have to go out and recruit and say, hey, would you be interested in...
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. Some are aware of it, want to be a part of it.
Okay.
And I think, and then also I think, you know, we try to have a representation of every industry in Dart County. So there might be some recruitment on that end as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing here it says Manufacturing Day, Friday, October 3rd, 2025. What's up with that?
Yep. So every year on National Manufacturing Day.
Oh, there is a National Manufacturing Day?
Yep. And yes. That's when we always will have our Manufacturing Day event for students. So this here just kind of gives schools the opportunity. They kind of pick and choose what grade level they want. Some choose sophomores because it's right before they take the U Science. Some choose to take seniors just because seniors who are going into the manufacturing might think, well, here in a couple months I could be working here. But what this does is it just gives students the opportunity to explore the world of manufacturing. You know, when we think of manufacturing, sometimes I feel like, especially in our schools, they think, you know, just working on like an assembly line or something like that. There's so much more that goes into these businesses than just, you know, working on an assembly or, you know, working with machines. You know, almost every single business has marketing. They have HR. They have like a safety committee. Kind of introducing these students to what's out there and what's really behind the doors of our manufacturers is really important, especially since manufacturing is one of our biggest industries here in the county.
Okay. I tell you what, when I was commissioner, they always asked me to go to one of the businesses, you know, and kind of help the kids. What fascinated me the most was you'd see these kids walk through, say, Whirlpool or Ramco out there, whatever it is now, and they'd always go, I didn't know they did this in our county. Mm-hmm. I didn't know we could do this. And they really, it wasn't just you think most of these trips like this would be, you know, it's just a day out of school, I can do whatever. But a lot of them really were like, you know, I didn't know they did this here. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was the best part about the whole thing. You see 25 or 30 kids out at Ramco or Whirlpool or somewhere, and they're going, you really do that here? Mm-hmm. You need what kind of engineers, environmental engineers here? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's really a very good program.
I do have a question. For students that are going to go on a job shadow, it's been years ago that I had a few. Do you have a training program for the businesses to know what to do with job shadowing? I don't remember that. I just remember a student showing up and they were there with you. So is there kind of a training? Or do you help them to know what to ask, what to show, what you're looking for?
So for my part of it, I do go into the schools and talk to the students. You know, this is an opportunity. This is kind of what you need to do beforehand. You know, if you have a resume, that could be your foot in the door to, you know, getting a job there. We also always encourage them to have, you know, practice like a formal introduction, leave the business with a thank you note for their time that day. I mean, all of our businesses in the county are kind enough to open their doors and let these students in. So I think, you know, it's really good for the students to know, you know, leaving a thank you note just as a sign of appreciation. But Denise kind of works with all the businesses and lining up who's going to be participating and what they're offering for Job Shadow Week. And then I work with the student side. So if you have anything that...
So moving forward, we're going to be sending them the U Science results so that they can help tailor their offerings. But we really encourage them to not just have a student like sit there and watch, but if there's something that they can do that's hands-on, for example, one of our local trucking companies allows students to job shadow with a driver. They can go out on the road with them. So so we try and make it as active as possible so they can truly see a day in the life of what that is. But ultimately, it's up to the company to decide how active they can be depending on the job shadow and also depending on the safety of what they're shadowing. But I know another one of our companies, the student was able to sit in with clients in a client meeting and help them pick out tile for their new house. So we really try and encourage it to be hands-on, have some questions prepared to ask the student, you know, what are you thinking about for your career? And like Olivia said, we really try and encourage the students to have questions to ask the company because it shouldn't be all on one or all on the other. It really needs to be a partnership that day for the job shadow so that both can get something out of it. And then two, we do encourage the employers that, you know, this could be your potential employee. So if you see something in someone, don't be afraid to have a conversation with them and say, hey, we might have an opening this summer. Would this be something you're interested in? One of our companies had a success where they had a student come out for a job shadow. They really enjoyed having the student there. The student really enjoyed being there. The student continued to follow up, and post-graduation he had a job. So it can really work out in a great way for both the student and the company.
What I noticed when I was doing them, you know, the kids would be walking through the factory, and all of a sudden they'd come to one spot where, you know, the guy would be talking about what they do here, and one kid would always go, okay, now how does that work? And then pretty soon you see four or five kids. Mm-hmm. It just takes one to get it started, and by the end of the tour, they're asking about all kinds of stuff there.
Yes.
I think it's a fantastic program, and I love it.
Yep.
Well, as we start to wind things down here, time-wise and everything, anything we've left out from your end of things here you want to just throw out here? Have we covered most of it?
I think we've covered a lot of the programming that we offer here today. As we move forward, you know, we're really looking forward to ways we can grow in the schools and, you know, offer, you know, career coaching and things like that for the students, and just ultimately being there as an extra resource for the schools and, you know, and working with them and having our close partnership.
Denise?
Yeah, I'll just kind of touch a little bit on some additional education opportunities for those who are employed. The state of Ohio has a program called TechCred, where employers can be reimbursed up to $180,000 a year to upskill their workforce. So they're technology-based credentials, but there's everything on there from learning how to use PowerPoint to robotics to maintenance. There's like 4,000 credentials that can be earned. And so we've seen a significant growth of utilizing that program here in Dart County. In 2024, we saw just over $500,000 coming back to the county. So it's our tax dollars at work, and, you know, if we're going to pay, let's have it come back here.
Yeah.
So that's a huge opportunity for our employers. So if you're an employee and you want something like that, feel free to talk to your employer, and then I'm always available to help our employers get going on that. But like Olivia said, we're just excited about the growth and continuing to expose students to great opportunities, and thankful to our businesses for opening their doors and their collaboration and partnership in all of our programming.
Yeah. Gail, any final questions or anything?
Yeah, we're among friends. What's it like working for Mike?
Well, we work with Mike. That's what he'll tell you.
Okay, what's it like working with him?
He's a really good boss.
He's
I'll say that.
I never tell him that, but
he's very knowledgeable about Greenville or Dart County in general.
If you ever want to know something about the history of Dart County, just ask Mike about it.
Okay, and he'll make you believe it, right?
He makes it up.
Mike, anything final here?
No, I just want to say, like I said, I don't think people realize how hard our economic development office works, and these two girls are doing a fantastic job with our youth. They really are, and I'm proud of them.
Yeah. How do people contact you anyhow?
Yeah, so they can reach out to our office at 937-547-3250, or you can check out our website, dartcounty.com, and our emails are on there as well if you'd rather email.
Where's your office located?
It's right above the coffee pot in the Palace Building, so 537 South Broadway.
Okay, very good. Well, hey, I tell you, thanks so much for taking time out of your day. This has been great, and I think we threw a lot of information out there that people can digest, and maybe some opportunities they're unaware of.
Absolutely.
So, anyhow, thanks so much for coming in. This is Olivia Schmidtmeier and Denise Elsass. I said that right.
Yes, you did.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
Twice I said that right.
But thanks so much for the work you do. It's real important. I think just it's an overall benefit, not only here in Dart County, but also for the kids, regardless of where they end up.
Absolutely.
It's just a great thing that they have that kind of guidance and leadership. So, anyhow, on behalf of our videographer, Nick Schmidt, and Galen Blosser, and Mike Stiegel, I'm Alex Warner. Thanks again for joining us here on another panel discussion as we sit around the round table here at mycountylink.com. Have a great day, everybody.